Thank you, guys. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, if you would. Luke chapter 4, page 835 in your Red Pew Bibles. We get to look at the scripture this morning as we continue Luke's telling of the story of Jesus. That will lead us into communion in a few minutes. And the way that we'll do communion, we invite you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we invite you to observe the Lord's Supper with us. We're going to ask you to come down this aisle, okay? So if you're over here on this side, we just ask you if you go to the back and come through and come down this aisle and cup your hands, and I will tear off a piece of bread and drop it into your hands and go ahead and eat it, and then get a cup of juice and drink it, and then return back to your seats. We'll do communion in a few minutes. I can remember when I was growing up, there was this one commercial, an investment commercial, where two guys were talking about investing their money, what to do with their money. And one guy asked the other guy, you know, what do you do? And that guy says, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and when, as soon as he says that, everybody kind of leans in. If you remember that commercial, everybody's like, everybody in the commercial is just kind of leaning in to hear the investment advice from the broker E.F. Hutton, with the tagline being, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen, right? And so that's kind of what we have in our scripture today, as Jesus is speaking so powerfully here that he is just drawing tons of people, and they were just hanging then onto every word that Jesus spoke in this small town. So let's look at it. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 31. Let's pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you for your word that you have preserved for us, the story of Jesus that has been written down, that we can read it, we can take it with us, and learn a little more about you. Learn a little more about ourselves and what's wrong with us, and then how to make it right. And so, Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we pray that we might see really clearly what you want us to see. Lord, we pray that you would give us understanding to your word here this morning. Lord, fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that we might understand your truth and that it might change us so that we might become more like Jesus. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Luke 4, starting at verse 31, it says this: Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. And they were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and began to wait on them. And at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons come out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. Never before in history have we had so many different voices to listen to. I get into my car and I have satellite radio, and I can listen to any type of music, just about. All, you know, hundreds of channels. Sports talk, different viewpoints on sports, different political viewpoints, comedy channels, all kinds. We have tons of channels on our TVs at home, many, multiple different cable news channels, all of these voices speaking to us. And then there's things that we read on the internet, watch on YouTube and on Facebook, on Instagram. And then we have voices that we hear from commercials enticing us to buy and what to participate in. And oh gosh, who to vote for? Oh my, are we tired? Anybody else tired of seeing the ads on TV? Same old ones, we get tired of it. But more voices giving their opinions to us. And then for those of us who go to work, you go to work and your boss is another voice and your coworkers. And then there's the voice of the company way and the way that you have to do things. And then we have voices from our friends and we hear from them how to spend our time, how to spend our money, how to raise our children, how to think about social issues. And then we have that voice from within, right? From our own experiences. And the way that we raise, we hear the voice of our mom and dad sometimes. And then we have our own beliefs. We have our own beliefs. Go ahead. Thank you. We have our own beliefs and our own feelings that speak to us as well. And so we hear a lot of voices in our world. And so I ask you this morning, something to think about, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Because sometimes we don't even think about what we're hearing, and there are things that influence us very subtly and sometimes not so subtly to believe and to act in a particular way. What? Who are you listening to? And then Jesus is another voice in that mix. Luke is telling us here that the words of Jesus are so powerful and so authoritative that it just left people in amazement. Their jaws just dropped. What words are they saying? And so Jesus taught with authority. What that means was usually when rabbis would teach, they would say a passage of scripture, and they would say, well, Rabbi so-and-so says this about that passage, and Rabbi so-and-so says this about that passage. And Jesus did none of that. Jesus taught on his own, right? He spoke in a freshness and a newness that just made God come alive. It's like he knew God personally. And then Jesus, the words of Jesus, cast out demons. The words of Jesus healed people. Ailments left, illnesses left, demons left. Whatever, it's like whatever he wants, he speaks and it happens. When has that happened before? Think back to Genesis chapter 1, when God spoke and it happened, right? God said, let there be light. Poof, there was light. And so Luke, as he's introducing us to Jesus, he's saying that the very words of Jesus are powerful, which raises an interesting question for us this morning. In the midst of all the voices that we hear, how do we view the words of Jesus? Do we see them as powerful and life-changing? Or enough that we will immerse ourselves in them? Or do we just see the words of Jesus as, well, they're inspirational? They make me feel good? They comfort me? That's interesting because studies show that Americans and Christians in the United States are reading the Bible and the words of Jesus less and less and less. There was a study done in 2019. They did a survey of Protestant churchgoers. In 2019, only 32% read their Bible every day. 27% read it a few times a week. And those numbers only got worse after the pandemic. And so in a world where a lot of people live in fear, including Christians, because I will visit people and I will talk with them and they'll say, I am in fear for my country. They say things like that. We're going in the wrong direction. I don't like the economy. Don't like the what we're doing to the environment. There's so many wars going around in our world. And with a world that there are a lot of people living in fear, Christians are reading their Bible less and less. It's like, I don't know about you, but we need more of the amazing words of Jesus in our life. Don't you think? Because it is the words of Jesus that teach us who he really is. In our story, the demons, as they're speaking, they speak to Jesus and they say, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demons in our story, they knew who Jesus was. The people, they don't have a clue yet. They're still trying to figure out Jesus. But the demons absolutely knew who he was. And so when we read the Bible, when we read the words of Jesus in the scripture, we begin to learn who he really is. Jesus says things like, I and the Father are one. We learn that Jesus is actually God. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am living water. And we learn that Jesus sustains us in this crazy world that we live in. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus is saying more, you know, he's not just a teacher. He's not just a good teacher or a philosopher. He's not just someone who has inspiring words. Jesus, the words of Jesus bring salvation. The words of Jesus help us to see the truth in our crazy world. The words of Jesus teach us who he really is. The words of Jesus bring freedom and life and life. Verse 18, if you recall last week, that when Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to speak from the words from Isaiah, he said, he sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And so we see that in our story today. This is exactly what Jesus is doing. He's setting people free of demons and of sickness and of illnesses. And we read later on that Jesus will tell a man, your sins are forgiven. Jesus forgives our sins. He frees us in that respect. We don't have to carry around the burden of our past. Is that cool or what? If it's really cool, you would say, man, I mean, think about that. Isn't that, what a wonderful thing that Jesus, we are free from carrying around the burdens of our past. And Jesus said, if the Son has set you are free indeed. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said this, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When we surrender our life to Jesus, when we make him the boss of our life, when we schedule our life around through him, we find rest for our souls. We are freed up from the rat race that everybody wants us to participate in. We are freed up from living a life of constant stress and constant anxiety. The Apostle Paul was dealing with an ailment that was hindering him and his ministry, and he heard the words of Jesus, which said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Here, the words of Jesus gave him power to endure that affliction that he was going through, so that he continue on with his life and carry on his life's work for the kingdom. The words of Jesus are powerful. Jesus, as he was giving his Sermon on the Mount, which are rules for living in God's kingdom and how to get the most out of life, when Jesus finished that Sermon on the Mount, he said this, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The storms of life are going to come, but you're going to survive. You can still get the most out of life. You will experience joy. You will experience peace. But if you ignore the words of Jesus, he says, life's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a lot of anxiety. You're not going to be happy. You won't find happiness. The words of Jesus bring freedom and abundant life. And then the words of Jesus inspire us to be the best that we can be. After Jesus has spoken those words of healing to Peter's mother-in-law and rebuked that fever out of her, what does she do? She gets up and cooks a meal for Jesus and the disciples. I mean, that's the instinct. She was so grateful that she is cured. She says, well, what can I do for the one who cured me? The words of Jesus bring freedom and healing, but then the words of Jesus will also challenge us as well. The words of Jesus will challenge us. I think of the time when, before Jesus had fed the 5,000, and his disciples came to him, and there's all these people out, thousands of people, and they said, Jesus, send these people home. It's late. They're hungry. You know, and Jesus turned to them, and the words that he spoke was, you guys give them something to eat. Whoa. He challenged it, right? He sent the disciples out on a training mission. He sent them out by themselves in pairs. He said, I want you to go out. I want you to go out, tell people about the kingdom of God, and I want you to do what I've been doing, heal them, cast out demons. What? How could we do that? No. God is going with you. The Holy Spirit is going with you. He challenged his disciples as they went out on their own. He told the religious leaders when they accused him of hanging out with the wrong people, Jesus said, I want you to go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So he was challenging the religious leaders to, hey, man, don't just live life following a bunch of rules. I want you to go out and have compassion on people. Jesus told Peter after the resurrection, after Peter had denied him three times and felt horrible in his life, Jesus met up with Peter and told him three times, then, I want you to feed my sheep. The words from Jesus to Peter was this, hey, I know you messed up, but I'm not done with you yet. Jesus will not leave us where we are. He's always looking to make us the best version of ourselves and the way that we're created in the image of God. And then finally, the words of Jesus bring hope. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and said to his disciples, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And these words of Jesus remind us of how Jesus lived a life of sacrifice and how he was an example to all of us to the point of death. His words remind us of his sacrifice for us and for all of humanity. And then he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. These words of Jesus remind us that his blood that was shed on the cross is for our sins, and that we're part of this new covenant. That new covenant means that when we give our lives to him, now we are children of God. We are children of God. We are forgiven. We do not have to live with shame and with guilt. These words of Jesus bring hope. This past week, we celebrated the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And many of you probably, as you watch TV, saw some of the old footage of the soldiers storming the beaches at Normandy. I had the opportunity just for a few moments discussing with a friend what that must have been like for those young many of them teenagers, storming those beaches, just the courage that it took. And we remember those events. We remember that day. We have programs so that we never forget the price that they paid so that we can be free today. We celebrate communion. We celebrate the Lord's Supper because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We never want to forget the sacrifice that Jesus made. We worship every week, a regular occurrence, because we want to remember who Jesus really is and what he did for us. We read and we learn and we take heart the words of Jesus because they remind us who we are as God's children and who he has called us to become. And so as we prepare to come to the table, I just ask you again, what voices are you listening to? And how can you make the voices and the words of Jesus louder in your life so that you can get his powerful words into your life? What can you do? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made going to the cross, whose body was broken. We thank you for his example of life to the point of death. Father, we thank you for his blood that was shed on the cross that erases our sins. Praise you. We never want to forget. And so we say thank you here today. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.